It's time for the LunarCast. Your source for full moon features and B-movies. And now, welcome your host, Jay Emmett.
Every year, hundreds of young people travel the country and disappear. God help those who get caught in the tourist trap. Tourist trap, where beautiful young people looking for excitement are tricked, terrorized. Shock you can see.
No, no.
Terror you can feel. Heart-stopping suspense that makes this the nightmare that never ends. Crazy's going on at the tourist trap.
So this is the part where you say to yourselves, I thought these guys were gone forever. Well, I got no excuses. I mean, I do. I've been just through the roof, busy, crazy, stupid. And unfortunately, this show is the one that gets left by the wayside when that happens. Lots of OT at work. Lots of stuff going on in real life. And this show I do for fun because I enjoy doing it. So it kind of gets set on the back burner. But for those of you who do stick around, who keep listening, I really appreciate it. And hopefully you enjoy. We are getting back on track. We are going to be doing the regular full moon movies here within the next couple of weeks, as well as some of the, you know, the canon. But this week we're doing some more canon, and that's okay too, right? I mean, you guys are okay with the canon, right? Well, I hope so, because that's what we're doing this week. 1979 Tourist Trap, directed by David Schmoller. Charles Band was an executive producer on this one, and this is another one of those early full moon, before full moon kind of movie things that happen. So let's go ahead and kick into that, and then we'll give you a little bit of news as far as what's going on in the full mooniverse. And there is some stuff. So let's go ahead and start on the synopsis of 1979's Tourist Trap. Okay, let's start by saying this movie is weird. Like, really weird. If mannequins creep you out, you'll be traumatized by this movie, because that's what it's mannequins. I mean, it's mannequins all over the place, mannequins and dummies. And if the synopsis comes through a little convoluted, I'm sorry. It's the movie sometimes comes through a little convoluted to me. I've seen it a couple times, and it still does. Okay, so Eileen and Woody are driving through the desert. Why are they in the desert, you ask? I don't know. And if they said, I don't remember. Anywho, they're out there and they get a flat tire, like you do in these movies. And Woody decides he's going to go off by himself to find a gas station, like you do in the movies. Now, they're driving by themselves, but I should mention that their friends Becky, Molly, and Jerry are out there somewhere as well. But they're in their own car, and anyway, they're following, I don't know. Anyway, they come upon Eileen. Come on, Eileen. That's how I should have said. They come on Eileen, who is waiting by the car, and they all go off to find Woody, because Woody, you know, he's gone. First question I have here is, if Woody knew that his friends were behind him somewhere, why walk? I don't know. I mean, but he did. He could have waited, but he didn't. He walked to find a gas station or something. Anyway, that's besides the point. Now, Woody finds a gas station that is clearly not operational. I mean, obviously, nobody works here, but he tries it anyway, like you do in these movies. He enters the place, and then these creepy mannequins appear, and stuff starts flying all around, and finally this metal rod flies into Woody and impales him and kills him. Goodbye, Willy. Eventually, the other group finds the gas station as well, and they figure Woody must be there, but as they're driving in, their car breaks down, like they do in these kinds of movies. Jerry tries to fix his Jeep. It's a Jeep, since he's the mechanic of the group, obviously. I mean, the others are all girls, so, you know, right? This is also when the girls decide to go skinny dipping in a nearby pond, like you do in these sorts of movies. And as they swim, Slauson, yeah, that's the dude's name, Slauson, shows up wielding this big old gun, like you do in these movies. He seems nice, but he's pretty unhappy, too, at the same time. You see, a lot of folks used to come through these here parts, but lately they don't come through as much because they moved the highway, so nobody's driving through the desert. I don't know why anybody ever drove through the desert. I mean, I can imagine driving through really fast, but this movie's called Tourist Trap, and you'll find out why. Anyway, Slauson tells Jerry that he can fix his Jeep, but he insists the group go to his house and with him so he can grab his tools. They get there, and they see all these bizarre figures Slauson has in his tourist trap. And Eileen asks about the nearby house. There's a house nearby, and she asks about it. But Slauson gives her some rigmarole and tells them to stay inside his little museum, his little tourist trap. What do you ask? Yeah, me too. I mean, they came here to find Woody, and Slauson's like, I'll fix your Jeep. And they're like, okay, let's fix the Jeep. Nobody says, hey, have you seen your friend Woody? Where's Woody? Okay, so Slauson takes Jerry to fix the Jeep, and the girls stay back. This gives Eileen a chance to go in search of a phone, and the only place she can do that is up at the Forbidden House. She doesn't find a phone, but she finds some mannequins, lots and lots of mannequins. While she's up there, she hears someone call her name, turns, and there we see the creepy masked figure. Stuff starts flying around, again, like with Woody. Then Eileen's scarf starts to tighten around her neck, and just out of nowhere, and it strangles her, and she's dead. Goodbye, Eileen. Well, you know what I mean. You got strangled by nothing. Slauson gets back and tells the girls Jerry took the Jeep to town. We don't know why. He asks about Eileen, and they tell him that she split, and he gets a little, you know, and he goes looking for her, and we find out she is now a mannequin, or she looks like a mannequin, or there's a mannequin that looks like her. Anyway, he comes back, and he tells Molly and Becky that he didn't find her, and he says he'll keep looking. Seems like a lot of exposition just to get the girls alone again, but whatever. The girls ain't happy. So they decide they're going to find Eileen on their own. Becky goes to the house, because really, where else is there to go, and finds the Eileen mannequin. The freaky killer dude attacks her, and then she gets attacked by mannequins. It gets all knocked out and whatnot, like you do in these movies. When she wakes up, she finds she's been restrained. She's in a basement, and Jerry is there as well. Jerry tells her that Slauson's brother is the killer. Bum, bum, bum! Also held captive is Tina. She's strapped to a table. Anyway, she gets killed because the masked man comes in, and he, like, covers her face with this plaster crap. Just why she's alive, just start slapping it on there. And it ain't like, you know, when you get the stuff done in, you know, like, art class when you were young, when you stick straws up your nose or leave nose holes. He didn't do any of that, so she suffocates. Anyway, Jerry kind of wiggles his way free. He gets free of his restraints. He goes after the killer, and he's, but the killer, man, he's bad. So he pretty much overpowers Jerry. Jerry tries to get some keys so they can get escape and get the keys and get out of there, you know. But the killer apparently has, like, telepathical-like powers, and he whoop, moves the keys. He's like a Jedi. And I'm waving my hand. You can't see it, but he moves the keys. So Molly's still out and about, and she's looking for everybody, but she can't find anybody, you know, because they don't know where they're at. And she's out looking, and the creepy mask killer dude starts coming after her. And she's, you know, she's running and stuff. And then, she bumps into Slauson, who he takes her to the museum, and he hands her a gun. And he says, you know, I'm going to go inside, so here's a gun. While he's in there, the creepy mask dude appears again. And Molly tries to shoot him, but she finds out that, surprise, surprise, Slauson ain't giving you a real gun. He gave you a gun full of blanks. The man then takes the mask off, and, oh, it's Slauson. I don't understand why what he's doing here. He's trying to get her to trust him. I don't know why, because, I mean, there's really nobody left. He could have just attacked her or used his telekinetic powers, but he did. He tried to fool her. Hey, here's a gun. Maybe he's just a big prankster. We don't know. She panics. She tries to get away, but Slauson catches her, and, of course, he restrains her just like he did everybody else. Now, Becky and Jerry, who are still in the basement, they're separated, but they escape. Now, Slauson gets back, and he gets Becky, and he takes her back to the museum. And there's all these, Old West, like, figures and stuff there at the museum, you know, like, cowboys and Indians. And they start shooting at Becky, and, then this Indian dude, like, mannequin figure dude, chucks a knife at her, and it kills her. She gets stabbed by the Indian dude who throws a knife at her. So now we're back at the house, and Jerry gets there, and he tries to rescue Molly, but guess what we find out? It's not really Jerry. Jerry's a mannequin. Slauson comes in, and he's got a mannequin of his wife, apparently, and he starts dancing around with it. And then all of a sudden, the mannequin, it starts moving around and stuff, and Molly's kind of freaking out because, oh, my good Lord, he's dancing around with the mannequin, and it's coming to life, and what is going on in this freaky, freaky-deaky place? So she grabs an axe, and she attacks Slauson and kills him. That's it. She kills Slauson. She kills him with an axe, like you do in these movies. So then we kind of cut to the next morning. This is the big spoiler alert, even though I just told you what happened. And we get the Puppet Master 2 ending to the movie. And obviously, I mean, Puppet Master 2 is such a tourist trap movie. I mean, you can tell that later on when they were making Puppet Master 2, they came back to this well many, many times. It's just obvious. Because it's the next morning, Molly's driving away in the Jeep, and as we go into the Jeep, we see that she's driving away with all the mannequin versions of all her friends. So, end of movie, fade to black, boom, bada, boom, boom, movie over. Everybody, Wang Chung tonight. Everybody's happy. There you go. I tell you some cast here, because you might want to know. Jocelyn Jones plays Molly. I don't know who most of these people are, just so we're clear. John Van Ness plays Jerry. Tanya Roberts is Becky. Keith McDermott is Woody. And Chuck Connors plays Slauson. Now, let's tell you a couple of really cool things about this movie. The first thing I want to tell you is a guy by the name of Robert Burns did most of the special effects on Tourist Trap. He also did the art direction, and he did all the mannequins in Tourist Trap. Now, you might be saying, now, who's Robert Burns? Well, he was uncredited, but he worked on the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original one, the Tobe Hooper one. So that's kind of cool. Also, this movie was composed by a man who's named after wine, Pino Donaggio. He's an Italian composer. And he was actually in town, the same town where they were filming this. He was working on Piranha, the Joe Dante movie Piranha, at the same time that they were filming Tourist Trap. And he did speak English, so Schmoller kind of approached him. And he says, hey, you know, let me talk you into doing this. Let me talk you into to composing music for my movie as well. And he did. So Pino Donaggio composed the music. And they worked together later, too, for the movie Crawl Space, which came out around 1985 or 86, somewhere in there, I think, Crawl Space. We may touch on Crawl Space one day, but not today. And the last thing I want to tell you is this movie was filmed in 24 days. So, there you go. There's a little bit about Tourist Trap. Now, personal thoughts on Tourist Trap, like I like to do for these movies. It's weird. It's weird. I mean, it's creepy, and it definitely has this creepy vibe to it, and I kind of like it, but I don't like it, and like I watch it and I'm like, that part's creepy, and I like the creepy feeling and the creepy vibe, but it's just a weird movie that I don't always understand. But I think a lot of people would agree that it definitely has a creep factor. So I don't know, you know, a lot of you have probably seen it. Let me know what you think, because it's a creepy movie. The mannequins are creepy. I mean, I think mannequins are creepy just in general, and so they come off really eerie in this movie. And the way the mouths all open and just sort of drop open, and there's all these like howling, scary mannequins yelling at everybody. Yeah, that works, but the story itself is a little convoluted and doesn't always make the most sense. But there you go. There it is. And that's Tourist Trap. And coming up on the horizons, I recently watched one of my favorite canon flicks again, which is From Beyond. And I hope to be doing that one with a friend of mine, and that will be Slug from the Slugcast. And we'll Skype that one together. And then, of course, Subspecies 2 is where we'll kick back off with the actual Full Moon movies, and that one will hopefully be with a guest as well, and that would be Gray from The Dark Hours, who did the first Subspecies movies with me. And he's new to the films, so that's the most interesting part. So let's take you over to some Full Moon news. And there is some news, because I've been away for a while, so there's lots of news. First of all, there is a sale going on. Everything available. Go over to fullmoondirect.com. Everything's on sale, and everything is on sale. So everything's like 50% off. The sale starts February the 10th. And it's going to run through February the 15th, and this is their Valentine's Day sale. So they're actually doing like a five-day sale, and everything's on sale. Box sets, DVDs, trading cards, posters, T-shirts, poster art shirts, their lighters, their shot glasses, their masks, their toys, everything. Music, it's all on sale. And they're doing free shipping on all U.S. domestic orders. So 50% off, man, that's crazy. It's one of their biggest sales ever, their Valentine's Day sale. May take a little longer to get your orders because they get really nailed, but this is their biggest sale, and if you're going to do it, this is the time to do it. So you got a five-day sale going on, and this will hit you right as the sale's starting, so cool. Executive producer offer on the new Puppet Master movie. That's going to be Puppet Master 10, Axis Rising. Now, I have watched the last one, and I barely touched on my thoughts on it. I wasn't a huge fan. It was nice to get the Puppet Master movies back, but I wasn't blown away. But they are making another one, and you know I'm going to watch it. And there's lots of news on this thing, and we're going to start with the executive producer offer. Basically, you can be a part of it. This is a way they, I think they do to raise some money, and that's really cool. And so for the Valentine's Day sale, the half off thing, for $500, you get $1,000 worth of gift cards, which right there is pretty awesome. Plus, you will give an, you'll be given an executive producer on-screen credit. So if you do that, you spend the $500, you get $1,000 worth of stuff, and you're going to get a credit on the movie. So that's kind of a cool little added bonus. You can show your friends and be like, check it out, man. That's my name. I help produce a movie. And we can talk about that in a minute, too. They have unveiled new puppets. Well, they've unveiled one new puppet for Axis Rising. But they're going to be unveiling more over the next couple months, which is really cool. The first one is called Bombshell. It's a girl. She's like a female SS officer, evil-looking chick. I'm assuming Bombshell is going to be the bad guy. We've already been introduced to Blitzkrieg. And they're also going to be revealing one in February and one in March. So four new puppets in total will be unveiled for Axis Rising. So go over there and check that out as well. I can tell you that they had a winner for the, the crazy script contest, synopsis contest thing. His name is Miguel Sanchez. Master Lady Monster. Master Lady Monster. It's M-A-S-T-U-R. People disturb me. He got the most votes, and it's about a meteor that looks like a vagina and turns into a monster that kills people who masturbate or something. I don't know. It's very weird. But he won, so there you go. And you can find out this by going, of course, over to fullmoonhorror.com, which is a really cool site. I highly recommend everybody going over there and checking that out. There's lots of news up there, lots of links up there. We always tell you they do the free movies every week up there. I believe right now the free movie is Oblivion, which is a really cool flick. It is available on Netflix right now as well. And we'll get to the Oblivion movies. I love the Oblivion movies. They're great. I also wanted to mention real quick, and this was news on the website, Ian Abercrombie died. He was 77 years old. Now, some of you may be saying, who's Ian Abercrombie? He played Dr. Hess in the Puppet Master films. I believe Puppet Master 4, I'm sorry, Puppet Master 3, he was Dr. Hess. He's the one who gets the soul of Blade, so, and Puppet Master 3 being my favorite of the films, it's kind of a bummer thing. But he actually began working back during World War II, and has been around ever since, and so he died recently, age 77. So rest in peace, Dr. Hess. It's sad to see you go. With that said, we're back, and we'll be back on a somewhat regular basis. You know how it goes. I'm not going to make any promises that it's going to be weekly, but more often, hopefully. The show's not hard for me to do, but sometimes it's hard for me to find the time. So there you go. I made a comment about... We are in the process of filming our first short film, so be looking for that. You can find out more information. Our YouTube page is Javuniverse, J-A-V Universe. I'm not going to spell it. So you can look for that there, and hopefully that's where you'll find it when it's done. We start filming next weekend, and it'll probably take a couple weeks to film it and then a couple weeks to edit it. And I'll let you know as soon as it's about to go up. But please check that out, and then we're going to be working on a feature-length project. Now, some of you don't know that we do these things. That's I went to film school. I have a degree, and we're on the brink of a bunch of other projects, too. Please check it out. Our website should be up and running over the next couple of weeks. That's going to be javumedia.com. It's not up yet, so don't go over there just yet. Might be by the time you hear this, but I doubt it will be. It'll probably be about a week or so after you hear this that everything is up and running. But you can check all that out, and we're going to be doing lots of projects over there. And we'll let you know exactly what those projects are as they come. Also, real quick, I might throw this kind of thing out there maybe a minute or two each week, but when I see a new horror movie, I might tell you a little bit about it and recommend or not recommend. I'm a big fan of supernatural and ghost stories. I did go see The Woman in Black the other night. I really enjoyed it. It's a very slow burn. It definitely takes some time to get rolling, but once it gets rolling, it's creepy. And the thing is I didn't find the story uninteresting at all, even before it gets to the ghosty parts. That's Daniel Radcliffe. This is the remake. There was an old British version I have not seen. It was very good, very creepy. Lots of practical effects, not a lot of CG. For all I know, they didn't use any CG. And once the ghosty stuff starts, it really worked for me, and I really enjoyed it. But it is a slow burn, so be prepared for that. Also, watch The Innkeepers. Very similar type thing. Not a lot goes on for a while, but the characters are interesting enough, and I really enjoyed them. And then when you get to the climax of the film, when things really happen, wow, it's pretty creepy too. Overall, I enjoyed both films, and I would recommend them if you're into the supernatural, ghost story, slow burn type movies. So check them out. You guys can write us. Right now, the best place would probably be... I'm going to go with show@pennycult.org for as long as that's still up. It's going to be a little bit longer. Or pennycult@gmail.com would work as well. That'd be the best place to write us for now. All that's going to be changing. And don't worry, I'll let you know as it does. Everything's going to be new, improved, and bigger, everything that we're doing, and I hope you guys stick around for that. And I will be releasing more of these more often. I swear, it's just been crazy. And I could regale you with all that. But if you really want to know, you can go check out our other shows. We do Geek in News, which is pretty much exactly what it sounds like. We talk about geeky news stories. And I do a show with my wife called Ball and Chain, which is talking about the differences between being married and single and how two people who have nothing in common have managed to stay married for 10 years. And we talk a little bit about just everything that's been going on over there as well. You can check those out. They're available on iTunes right now. Pennycult.org will get you there. But again, that's going to be gone soon enough, and the new site will be up and running soon. So thanks, everybody, for listening. And remember, until next time, keep it creepy.